For ambitious dads caught between work and home, this is where you find your footing. Here's your host, Jeff Hittner.
Welcome to the Ambitious Dads Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Hittner. After more than 200 conversations with fathers, I realized we're not talking enough. Not about our fears, our ambitions, how our kids are really doing, or how we're holding up in the middle of it all. This podcast is for the dads trying to build something meaningful and be present at home. The ones carrying a lot, questioning if they're doing enough, and craving honest conversations without the filters. If that's you, you're not alone. You're in the right place. Let's figure this out together. So today's guest is Quentin Sanicola. Quentin is a serial entrepreneur and the founder of Q-Cola Worldwide Strategy. And most importantly, of course, he is the father of two boys, a three-year-old and a seven-month-old. So Quentin, welcome.
Hello, hello. Happy to be here.
So nice to have you. So tell me, first of all, you've got a baby in the house and a toddler in the house. You know, and it's funny, in Spain, they have this great expression when you have any or all kids under the age of three, they say you're in the tunnel, which means I don't even know that you can see the light on the other end. But tell me what life is like right now with a toddler and a baby.
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't sleep much. No, just kidding. No, I'm not kidding. However, it's worth it. Very much so. Life is a mystery. You know what I mean? And you hear a million expressions when you're growing up, and you hear about, like, even the joke I just made, right? You hear about that, and it kind of, or you hear about how you're not working for you anymore. It's not all about me anymore. You hear all of these things, and you understand it, like you register it mentally, but you don't register it. Like, it doesn't hit the heart. You don't like feel that. And then you kind of see the tunnel. So you get the news, hey, we're pregnant. Like, this is what's going on. And you're like, okay, I can see the tunnel there, but I'm not in the tunnel yet. Right. And then you get into the tunnel and it's a whole different world. Everything is a different world. The way you look at life, the perspective that you have on why you're doing your day-to-day tasks or even the weekends, your everyday life, everything shifts. Transparently, some of it's hard. Not all of it's easy, right? Not all of it is even the funnest thing in the world. I mean, come on, like, nobody's interested in changing diapers, right? It's the reality. It's not all about you anymore, right? When you're making decisions now about where am I going or what am I trying to do, I'm now factoring in multiple things. I've heard other people say, I have to be in three places at once now. One for my boys and one for my wife, right? And it's that reality that, okay, there is a bigger picture here, right? Not just a bigger picture of, you know, the 30,000 foot view of what I want to build for myself. It's, no, there's a bigger picture going on in Quentin Sanicola's life that is so much more important than myself. The curiosity changes. That's something I didn't expect, is because you're watching this new life, right? My two boys, how curious they are. One is only 7 months old, so he can't communicate and articulate it yet. The other one, being 3 years old, can actually start to articulate the curiosity. Why is the sky not yellow? Why is the sky not green? Right? And you're like, these are like simple, like, the curiosity, and you're like, wow. And it, like, forces me to be more creative, to be more curious about what's happening. It's unbelievable. I think I would never tell anyone how to live their life or how to rush into it, because it is a change, right? Because I think there's a lot of people out there like, start early, and then others are, make a bunch of money, especially in today's world, make a bajillion dollars and then start. And I'm like, you know what? For me, start when it's time to start, which is going to be different for everybody. But don't delay when you've kind of reached that season and that phase that you think you should start, or you should start having kids and building a family. Don't delay that for those external things. And don't rush into it for those external things either, because you feel the pressure. There's going to be a balance here, I think. And I think that would be, like, right off the bat, one of the first things I would tell anybody is just, there is a time, and we all kind of know when that time is. Don't delay it, because it's just the most unbelievable experience possible.
Thank you so much for sharing that. It makes me think, I remember when that time started to appear for me, was I just started noticing, I was living in New York, and I just started noticing everyone's baby, right? You notice babies, you notice pregnant moms, you notice the young kids. And like, it's like one of those things where I didn't even know they existed in the streets of New York City. And then all of a sudden, it's all I could see. So yeah. I totally hear you in terms of like when you know it's the time.
Not just the babies crying on an airplane? You started noticing them other than that too? Right, no, just kidding.
Yes, amazingly, the beautiful times instead.
Right.
Although, of course, you can't actually stop and watch them at a park if you don't have... I remember I am in New York. There are these summer like swimming pools that you can swim in all over the city. And I met up with a friend. It was fun. Instead of like in the middle of a work day, he worked at a venture capital firm and I was running my business and I was like, it's too hot. Let's go to the pool. And we go to the pool and the lifeguard's like, no, you guys can't be in this pool. You have to have kids with you. And I was like, okay, well, that seems a little awkward. So let's definitely leave this pool. So there are a few limitations when you're in, like the zone to want to have kids. I want to ask you more about this curiosity because it's a beautiful thing. And for you, how does that curiosity convert into any number of things? I think most specifically, I'm interested in so many of the dads that I speak with who have a similar excitement and curiosity aren't really doing a lot of research as a result of it to kind of understand like, okay, what's going to happen next? Like, what do I need to be prepared for? What do I need to be thinking about? Has your curiosity converted in any way towards understanding kind of the developmental stages of your kids? Or is it more just like an openness to whatever is coming in front of you? How does it work for you?
Definitely a combination of both. And I'll explain why. Because in life in general, very much so an open thing. So I've absolutely, I think you're in Spain now, like I'm absolutely not lived the traditional lifestyle from someone who grew up in Nashville, right? On a horse farm in Nashville, mind you. So about as stereotypical as you get, right? Went to the UK, met my wife there. She's Japanese, as in from Japan. Lived in Japan for multiple years, came back here, transitioned over the last several years, right? Started several businesses, sold a few, gave away a few. Long story behind that. But in life in general, I'm a very open and go with the flow person. And this has just enhanced that to a very, very large degree. In terms of creativity, just questioning like why, you know, when you get that 3-year-old age, I had somebody that I was talking about the terrible twos with, and we didn't really experience the terrible twos. And she actually echoed this and she said, well, actually, that time is coming when they turn about 3, because it's the season of why. Everything is why. Why? Do this. Why? Don't do this. Why? Right? This is how it is. Why? And the creativity behind that going, why? Like, wait a minute. It's a good question. Why do we do what we do? Why am I doing this? But that translates into life, right? So the openness and curiosity in life has always really, really been there, and it's just been enhanced. When it comes to creativity and curiosity towards like, how do I want to raise my children? Absolutely. I think this is a time where you have to be more intentional than ever before. And I mean that because you are not alone in your home anymore. There's a digital babysitter. If you choose, we choose not to. We choose to be the babysitter. We choose, right? And we're very intentional. And I mean that in terms of screen time, right? I mean that in terms of social media. Now, again, 3 and 7 months old, quite a little early. I get it. However, these are the decisions that we're making ahead of time. Schooling, right? My wife being Japanese, me being American, right? From Nashville, it's kind of like, okay, what kind of an education do we want to provide? How do we want to do that? Are they getting a Japanese curriculum? for schooling, right? Do we want to use the US-based curriculum? Like, how do we want to do it? And these are those nuances that, for me, having a, should you say, an untraditional lifestyle, we've been forced into. I mean, simple things, simple. However, insurance, health insurance, right? How do we want to manage that? How do we want to do that? Where do we want to live, right? Japan doesn't allow dual citizenship when they turn 18. So that's a conversation we're going to have one way or the other later on down the road. That doesn't start, happy 18th birthday, what are we doing here? No, it starts now. And these are those conversations that we're having quite often, quite a lot. And I would say that we are a lot more intentional than most people. When I mentioned, like, very little screen time for my children, right? Probably during the World Cup right now, a little more than usual. Outside of that, very, very little. I'm talking like less than an hour a week kind of thing, right? We're really particular. A lot of books, not just on my bookshelf, but on my son's bookshelf, right? We're very intentional about that. How do we end the night? Now, I'm an early riser, so I'm usually up long before them, today included. So the mornings are still up for debate. However, night times, very intentional. Tucking them in for bed, going to sleep, right? You know, let me, I know I'm kind of going on here, but I'll just tell you, like, as an example, how intentional. Communal sleeping, very Japanese. In the West, that's not a thing. We have a self-soothing, right, mindset. Leave them in the crib, let them self-soothe. They don't sleep in the same beds, right? So even something as simple as sleeping, we're like, okay, how do we want to do this? How do we want to manage this? How can we find a balance in the two cultures where West where East meets West?
So do you think that because you're of two cultures, it's actually, in a way, prepared you a little bit better for these sort of deeper intentional conversations, because you have to be overly communicative because you're coming from two very different foundations?
That's a great question. Yes, I do. Because, I mean, you understand, right? Being over in Europe, there's just nuances. There's differences, right? So the reality being is you're, you know, it's not that you have to change every single thing about yourself, but you do have to be a little bit more cognizant of your surroundings, who you're with, right? Not offending, not doing the wrong thing. And definitely, right? Because we already, there are changes and nuances within international marriage itself, you know, and I'm in full transparency here. I'm not the guy that's like, this is the most amazing thing in the history. Go do it. Oh my gosh, I can't wreck. You get to eat better food. You get to you can go live in two countries. Like, I'm not that guy. I'm very much the other guy where I'm like, hey, like, you need to be really, like, really clear that this is the right person, because you're going to have challenges to the point that you can't even ask advice from the vast majority of your friends and family, because they're not going to even be in that situation. They've never experienced that before.
It's so interesting too, because a lot of the dads that I've interviewed, and when they struggle around some of these co-parenting topics, what we've noticed in my research has brought up too, is that we all come from our own experience in our childhood, right? And one of the biggest things that we don't talk about with our spouse is, what are the things that I loved in my childhood that I want to replicate with my child? And what are the things I hate from my childhood that I don't? And ironically, there was a huge one in our family where I was always fed like just the worst sort of, like I just had constant sugar in front of me. And it wasn't any fault of my parents. It was just kind of the nature of life back then. I mean, but I was eating like 6 cupcakes a day. I was having Frosted Flakes. I was having all that stuff. So when I became a dad, it was going to be like super healthy food all the time. And then meanwhile, my wife's when she was growing up, it was, they weren't allowed to have anything sugary in the house, right? So along comes our first son, and all she wants to do is give him like yummy sugary things, because for her, it was the opposite of her child experience. And I wanted to not give him sugary things. And if we had had this conversation and understood this about each other in our childhoods, that would have been a huge way to avoid many, many difficult conversations. So I really appreciate that it's kind of more obvious in your case, because by the very definition of your wife being from Japan, you have to have every single one of those conversations. So that's really great. Can you talk to me also a little bit about, you know, you talk about how now you kind of have three, from being responsible for yourself to now you're responsible for your kids, your wife, yourself, you have this business. How does that affect you emotionally? I mean, part of you talked about how it opened you up to curiosity, but what about on the like overwhelming side? How do you keep a sense of self? How do you keep focused on who you are and your goals when you are equally, if not more, focused on everyone else?
Well, first of all, I have to remind myself that when I'm focusing on myself, I am focusing on them through that. That is one thing I have to really remind myself. That.
What does that mean exactly?
Yeah. For me to perform, I need to have a clear mind. And when I perform, I provide a better life for my family. Mm-hmm. So by deep, I'm like, look, do I have things? I like watches. That's my thing. I'm not like a car guy. I enjoy watches. So like, do I have my own things? Yeah, for sure, right? Do I have my own hobbies and things I enjoy? Yes. However, when I'm building, when I'm trying to build, when I'm working towards it, when it's an early morning, a late night, you have to remind yourself, like, it's not just for the sake of ego for me to do, like, is it undeniable that that element is there for every human? Of course. However, a large chunk of this, a large portion of this, right? I can have a laptop, a backpack, make what I need to make to eat food and just go experience and travel the world. However, that's not what I'm building for. So when I am focused, this is where to start. And there's a couple things here. But then the first one is when I start with that place in mind, those harder decisions, the late nights, the early mornings, sometimes weekends, working, right? Becomes a lot easier. It becomes a lot more clear. I'm doing this for you guys. When I focus on me for a clear mind, clear body, right? I'm doing this because when I perform, I create better. I create a better life. I create a better lifestyle, right? I am more emotionally present for them when I'm still Waters, right? So that's number one. Number two, you know, the reality of today is you are being bombarded everywhere at all times in a bunch of what I call emotional games. You're not good enough. You need this car. You need this, for me, watch, right? You need this watch. You need this thing. So one thing I can tell you is, children, when you have them, are really interesting because they are human lie detectors to a large degree, right? They're BS detectors. And it becomes very clear that, like, you get a moment and you're sitting down and it's like, hey, come build blocks. Like, the big thing right now for my son is like magnet blocks. He's like, he just wants to be present. He just wants me to be emotionally present. And especially ambitious dads out there, or entrepreneurs, or people that are trying to build something, you know, you'll find it difficult, that balance between being emotionally present, but also I'm not just building for me, I'm building for you, which means I can't always be there. I have to be doing the thing, whatever that thing is. I have to be building that thing, creating that thing, planning that thing, actually executing on that thing. So finding a balance between one and two is going to be a personal battle on a continuous basis that you're going to have to face. And you're going to have to make hard decisions is today a Saturday that I'm working? Or are we going to the park? Am I building blocks? And as long as you can be as open and transparent with yourself as you can your family, typically that I've found, maybe I just got lucky, but typically I find that they understand. And you just got to be clear. The trouble comes, though, when you try to blend those two together, which is what I really struggle. If you ask my wife, she'll tell you, right, that I struggle with. Are you working or are you here? Mm. Are you playing blocks or are you here? Are you studying or are you here? Hey, I see that headphone in your ear. Are you listening to something or are you here? And I really struggle with this one and I'm really trying to do better. But those kids, they're BS detectors and they know. They know, right? So when it's time to work, it's time to work. And when it's time to step away from work and be with family, it's time to be with family.
I feel like that's much easier said than done, right? As
very
you started to explain, right? What about the guilt or whatever that creeps in those scenarios, right? I think there's lots of dads that I've spoken to. They say, yeah, I totally get that I should have my alone time so that I can recharge, so that I can be better for my family. But like X, Y, and Z needs to be done. And my wife needs this so I can help with the house and all these things. So how does that affect you?
I think this is where good communication comes in between you and your wife or your spouse, right? Like, I think this is really where it comes in, because me and my wife have never been the needy couple, for lack of better words. There were long stints of time, as in like 6-8 months at a time, where she would be in Japan and I would have to come back here and work, close some deals, do some stuff, and then go back there. We are not the FaceTime every single day couple. We're probably on average FaceTime. And even this year, she was in Japan for 3 months. And I'll explain in the future probably a little bit more why that happened. But we probably FaceTime once a week. That's just who we are. Now, here's the catch. I'm always available. She's always available. She knows that. And I know that. We don't have like this needy attachment. However, we're always available. Hey, can we talk? Yes. That's the answer. And that's the communication. And it's the same thing when it comes to you focusing on yourself, the guilt. You just got to be communicating. If your family, this is what I would say to the dad specifically, any of the dads out there in this manner, thinking this way. If you had 100% certainty that your spouse and your children knew what I shared earlier, that you are doing this so that you can be a better dad, you can be more present, right? Now, the caveat here is that you actually aren't doing this for selfish reasons. However, if they 100% knew that you were, would you still feel that guilt? If the answer is no, then that's just a communication problem. And maybe it's because my wife's third language is English, and my first language is English. Her second language is Korean. She taught herself, and then English afterward, right? So maybe it's because we're forced into, by default, communicating differently. Being slow doesn't mean I'm great. Doesn't mean I do everything perfect. Just ask her. However, if you really knew that they understood, would you still feel that guilt? And if that answer is no, it's just a communication thing. You need to convey that to yourself and to them.
That's beautiful. Very well said. Thank you so much. Because I think about that a lot with my boys too. And they very much know that. We were on vacation last week and they wanted to play constantly, right? All day. And we were at a house with a wonderful pool and near the beach. And I said explicitly, look, daddy needs some alone time right now. I've been organizing everything all week. You need to give me 20 minutes so that I can be a better daddy. And you're right. They've heard that before, and that makes a huge difference. Still makes me feel a little bit sad because they beg, but they get it. And you're right. You're totally right.
And that's not going to go away, by the way.
No.
Just to be, like, when I walk up the stairs, my son is getting to the age where he totally knows. And he'll say, is dad's working?
Yes.
Dad's working? And there's a short amount of time where he would fight. And now he's kind of given in. Now, don't get me wrong. There was this weird part inside of me that when he stopped fighting and just started understanding, like, oh, that is working. It is what it is. There was a little part of me that was like, oh, shoot. Okay. Yeah. But it's more reason why I'm building.
Yeah. Oh, I love, thank you for sharing that as well. Let me ask you another interesting question, because I went through this too. So your baby, your youngest son was born 7 months ago and you're an entrepreneur. Did you take time off? How did you think about that? And maybe also with your three-year-old. So, both of my kids were born when I had my own business, and that was a very complex emotional situation for me to deal with. So tell me about it for you.
Luca, my second born, I did. I took 7 days and then back to work. And the 7 days were very intentional days, and it was an interesting time. So I was going back and forth with my team. Fortunately, I had a really good, second hand where he totally understood. And it was like, we're making this happen. Shout out to Colin. For Asa, totally different story. Totally different story. 2-3 months before that, trying to think back here, I bought a restaurant from a friend of mine who had 7 locations with the intention of when we improved revenue that we would be buying into all 6 locations. 3 burger shops, 2 cafes, and a cigar bar in Japan. Hmm. I'll give you a hint. On a scale of 1 to 10, my Japanese is maybe a 3. I won't starve to death and I won't get lost. That's it. Right. Also, we were still coming on the back end of the 2020 fun from everything. So for me, no. When Asa was born, I took 0 time off. And this was one of the, for so many reasons, you want to talk about taking time for yourself. You want to talk about emotional stability. You want to talk about training, how like the hard times in life are just training. This is it. My son was born, and because of the situation going on in the world, when I left the hospital, they would not let me come back in. Now, they told me ahead of time, it wasn't like a shock. However, birth, amazing, crazy experience. And then just to go home, they're like, you can't come back. So we were in Japan at the time, so that she was in a birthing clinic for 5 days, right? Yeah. Not really like the hospital. So for 5 days, we were separated at that point. In my mind, I'm thinking like, this is kind of a good thing because I can really put things in place. I already built a lot of the team. This wasn't a shock. Nobody gives birth suddenly, right? Needless to say, it takes 9 months roughly. In Japan, they say 10 months, by the way. But anyway, so for me, that was a totally different world because 48 hours after my son was born, which I didn't even happen to know I would be there, my partner actually had a heart attack. And I left the clinic from my son's birth, and then I dragged him back into the hospital because of his heart attack. He had 12 surgeries that night and then survived, did great. And then a month later relapsed, passed away, died. And this is literally right when my firstborn son is born. Okay. We're like, whoa, we got a new location that just opened. I'm running my side of things. Like, I'm in a foreign country. I don't even speak Japanese. So if you think it's hard enough to build a business in your own country, think about a second country. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Now, I'm not a restaurant guy. So I'm also in a new industry. Now, I'm a systems and a process guy, right? Like fractional COO stuff. So I'm very good at plan A to Z. How do we get there? But I'm not a restaurant guy. So everything at the same time is new to me. And then a good friend of mine, before he was my partner for almost a decade, has a heart attack right in front of me. And I physically had to carry him to the hospital. So needless to say, with my firstborn son, with Asa, there was no time off. There was zero time off. And this is those times. So to the point that those first 3 months, right when we ended up selling our locations, because I was like, this is my friend long before. But that was about a 3-month process. And then after that, very quickly, like 2-3 weeks after that, I had to go stateside for work and business that was out here. And they were in Japan for that like first 6 months. My wife was pretty much a single mom in Japan. But this is what I was very intentional about, that 1 and 2 there, about being like, this is for you guys. And when I'm present, I'm present, and don't bleed the two together. Because when I'm gone, you can't be. We can FaceTime, but that's actually kind of a bad thing. Just to give you guys a hint here, that's harder. Because then you got to say goodbye on the phone. And the baby does not have a clue what that means or why. You're just not there in their mind. So, like, that's why I started there. It was very, that was the dark night of the soul. Sitting in the dark on the curb with my hands in my forehead, or my hands and my face in my head, just like, what am I doing now? Like, what happens now? That was that time. Mm-hmm. And this time with Luca, my second born, it was much more like, no way. I'm taking the 7 days. I'm going to be now, here.
7 days is still, you know, quite shy of 4 to 6 months, in Europe, even longer sometimes. So what?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, after the 7 days, you work from home, right? So it was mm-hmm. 7 intentional days, but then lots of time afterwards. I mean, why only 7 days, for instance? I mean, if someone works in a company, it's months. So talk a little bit about that.
7 days uninterrupted, right? Oftentimes, especially in parenthood, you know, this, by the way, remember when I said earlier, like, I knew, but I didn't really know. This is one of those times. You'll understand whether you're a dad or not, but you maybe might not understand for someone who has children. It is not about the amount of time. It is about the quality of time. It is about the intentionality. So that 7 days doesn't sound like a lot, but for me, my wife, that was a big deal. Especially after the first son, where I was just not there. And it wasn't an option. Like, it just was not an option. With Martin's passing, my partner's passing away, 7 locations, we got 45 employees. There's legal battles behind the scenes. He was only in his early 50s. So it was like, he had 2 kids, both under 10, by the way. Take care of your health. Not sure if you're going to get there, but take care of your health. This was one of those realities that, okay, like, I can't be there. Versus number two, very intentional with 7 days. So to kind of answer that second part of your question, though, I have the ability to kind of be flexible with my schedule. So, right, although I do work significantly more than the average person, I have the ability to pick and choose when that is. So as long as I'm diligent, or as long as we're, you know, like, being intentional with time, do you want to go to the park today? Can we go to this cafe? Can we do this? Right? That I'm allowed to do. Whereas a lot of people maybe are kind of, the hardest part about entrepreneurship is the fires. You don't know when a fire is coming. If you knew when a fire was coming, you'd be a bajillionaire because you'd know how to run your business perfectly. You never do. That's just the reality. So for me anyway, with the way I've set things up with my schedule, like, I have the ability to, as long as I'm diligent, kind of pick and choose. We're going to the zoo today. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is. That's number one. Number two, I work 6 days a week. I don't work Sundays, like, full stop. I don't even tell people I don't work Sundays. Power of intentionality with your words. I can't work Sundays. I've had conversations with opportunities that are big ones. Hey man, I know it's the only day for you. We got to figure it out. I can't do Sunday. I can't work Sundays. And I always have 1 day a week, no matter what, where it's family day. I don't even like to leave the house on that day. Right. That kind of thing. Like, sometimes my wife on a Sunday will be like, hey, can we go to the park today? Or do you want to do this today? I'm like, honestly, no. I just want to be here, play blocks, be with you guys, but I just don't want to go out. And that's my Sundays.
Love it. So tell me a little bit about what keeps you up at night as a dad. What's kind of going through your head these days?
What keeps me up at night? Well, obviously, everything in the world is hunky-dory. Everything's great. Nobody's doing anything stupid out there. I mean, I say that facetiously, obviously. The complete and utter madness of the world has a different perspective.
As a dad,
you have a totally different perspective on war. You have a totally different perspective on viruses. You have a totally different perspective on so many things. On, in, you know, the, like, the debt crisis that we are inevitably facing in the West here that will come home to roost, is it going to look like Mad Max? Right? If there's another 2008, like, is it going to look like Mad Max? No, not necessarily. Maybe. I mean, it could. Could have, by the way. In 2020, it really could have got worse. Like, it could have got way worse. Right? However, that financial situation has a whole new meaning. Being vigilant about, like, what am I building towards? Okay, how can I be mindful? Right? The wars happening, the fighting happening has a whole different meaning. So what keeps me up at night specifically is honestly those fires in the businesses and building, because what I want to build, I want to bring my son into. And then I want to have a family business, right? And I want to grow that together. And I want to start that as part of his education, teaching him and letting him learn. So if my business isn't ready for him when he's ready, in my mind, that's a big problem. It's like, there's only so much I can do about the existential issues out there.
True. What, in terms of the developmental stages, your 7 month old and your 3 year old are going through it. Is there something that worries you or feels a little, you feel a little bit more uncertainty towards?
Specifically with the 7 month old?
Sure.
Yeah. Food. Mm. Right now in my home, you were talking about how much sugar you ate earlier. In our home, we've gone through full, you know, vulnerability here. We've gone over the last several months a pretty big allergy issue with my secondborn son, and we have narrowed it down. And it is inevitable that it is the quality of our food in America. They went to Japan, and all reactions disappeared in 3 days.
Hmm.
And then come back and then it pops up again. You go, okay, there's something going on specifically in the US. Now, we have to have I don't have any plans right now to pack up and move. However, if this becomes like a major issue, it's gonna be taken out of my hands. So I gotta tell my family, the Santa Cola family, sorry, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about my family. And we're going to go back to Japan because he's not having reactions. Ace is good to go on all fronts. Luke, on the other hand, it's not about me. And we're really diligent about food and what is in it and how we're handling it and what we're eating. You know, over in Spain, over in Japan, you don't really have the same, like, it's not perfect, but it's just not the same in a lot of ways. And that's probably one of the biggest things right now.
It sounds very stressful, actually. Yeah, because it sounds like there's a lot of unknowns and uncertainty with that.
Oh, yeah. And it's a gift and a curse. There's a release. There's a trusting in the unknown, in that element, right? And that's how I went to Europe in the first place. That's how I went to Japan in the first place on a one-way ticket, which everyone told me they wouldn't let me through the border. And guess what? They did, right? Mm-hmm. And then I got married and that was not planned. So this is how I live my life in many ways in terms of the unknown anyway. However, it's the reality. I mean, when you become a dad, when you start going through those things, it's like, how do you handle a bully? Your son's being bullied. How do you handle that? Right. When there's food allergies going on, how do you handle that? These are those things you don't really plan for. You don't really expect. You don't really think about until it's time. Right. I know that that's possible. However, I don't really know until you kind of start to see that tunnel in the distance that they explain as pain.
100%. I like to end the majority of our podcast with, fatherhood is messy. And so, especially since you have a baby and a toddler, do you have a nice, gross, messy body excretion story of something, you know, an exploding diaper, a poop where it wasn't supposed to be, or anything like that from your newborn?
Yes and no at the same time. They've both been pretty good on this front. Now, like, admittedly, some of that is because with the first one, I was traveling so much, so I was kind of absent to a degree. That being said, it's definitely embarrassing when you have to call the front desk of a hotel or an Airbnb or something. Just go, listen, the diaper leaked. I don't know what to tell you. It's everywhere. What are we doing here? Right. That just happened when we were in Japan a couple of weeks ago. So that's definitely a thing. And most people are understanding, you know, they're like, what are you going to do? but it doesn't make it fun. You know, you make that phone call and you're like, listen, I'm sorry. It's everywhere. I mean, just what do you mean? You'll see everywhere, the whole bed, you know, and we do communal sleeping. So, just you deal with it, you know? So, but it's again, though, right? Like I say it in laughter because it's obviously not their fault, right?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's amazing. I don't know. What an experience.
I have definitely had that happen in a hotel as well. Although you did a better job. I don't think we called the front desk. I think we just checked.
Shocked the maids.
Yeah, exactly. all right. Anything else I should have asked you? It's been really wonderful to kind of get your perspective on fatherhood.
Anything else you should have asked me? Oh, man. Yeah. No, honestly, I think this is the bulk of it, I think. I mean, there's so many things you can talk about, you can go down, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, I really mean that. I really mean that because there's so many people pulling people on all sides. Have them early. Have them 18, 22. All these girls don't have children by the time they're 30. And then you got the other side, which is like, make a bajillion dollars and do this. And I'm like, man, there's like, it's such a balance. And I really mean that. Like, I'm not saying rushing into anything because like you need to choose your spouse very carefully. Mm-hmm. Like that one is like really clear to me. And I chose very well. Nothing to do with me. Just she's awesome. Right. That being said, this is not like a rush into it. And this is not like a delay. Like just delay for the sake of having, you're never going to have enough money. Period. Full stop. Even if you're retired, it's not enough. Right. Like, and the money only goes so far when it comes to allergies, health. Right. It only goes so far when it comes to like existential life, whatever things. So go to out there. I don't know. Get on the field. Make it happen. I think it's when it's time, you'll know. You'll feel that calling kind of to a degree, that kind of little whisper. And you'll go, you know, I think it's time for us. Or you'll be shocked. And if you get the surprise, then it's like, put your head down. We're going in it. Like, let's do it. Let's start this journey because it's so worth it. And it's there's a tickle fight with a 3-year-old of your own can't be expressed. Okay. The amount of joy that comes with that, knowing that you're providing that experience for him or her, is unbelievable. And there's just no words to describe.
I think that's probably one of the best quotes I've heard in a while. Yeah, you're 100% right. That sort of giggle when your child is having so much fun being tickled is the best. Thank you so much, Quentin. Really appreciate your time. And good luck with your growing family.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Ambitious Dads Podcast. If you enjoyed this conversation and want more insights on balancing ambition and fatherhood, make sure to hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, and turn on the notification bell so you never miss an upcoming episode. Check out the links in the description for our newsletter and more resources to help you live intentionally as a dad. See you in the next episode.